What's going on, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And you are listening to the College Football Rundown with Woj and Walt. But we have a couple extra guests this week for the Pac-12 conference preview. We got the real Jay-Z in the house.
Hey, how does it go, Rundown Nation?
And then we have Michael Hargraves. Is it Hargraves?
It's Hardways, Woj. If you've ever been to a casino with me, you know I love the Hard 8 and the Hard 6. So it's Hardways, Mike.
Well, you might love those, but you never win. So I'm
nope. They're suckers' bets. Just so everybody's aware, they are those bets in the center of the table, the craps table. They are 100% suckers' bets. But when they hit, oh man, it's fun.
All right, we're gonna get some Pac-12 action going here. The real Jay-Z is our Pac-12 expert here. Calls it the Conference of Champions. It's gonna be the conference of everybody leaving as of this year. But let me tell you, the Conference of Champions are struggling with the over/under numbers. So help me out here, real Jay-Z. You're going to start off the bat here with the Arizona State Sun Devils. They're over/under on the season's 5. Give me some hope. Give me some light at the end of the tunnel for the Sun Devils.
I mean, Conference of Champions rolls right off your tongue versus Conference of not gonna whatever you said. Whoa, let's just clarify that right away. But I guess we can't really start with Arizona State's a tough spot to start. What do we got? 5 total wins for them on the season. I'm leaning under. I'm curious to see what our man Hardways has to say after a scouting report down in Arizona has to say. But I don't think there's a lot of good things to say about Arizona State. But hey, maybe.
Unfortunately, there's not. I don't like any of these 3 quarterbacks. So as the real Jay-Z mentioned, I work for sportsbettingintel.com, and we do a lot of stuff related to content and intel and analysis related to sports betting. And I was down in Arizona doing some scouting this week, both Arizona State and University of Arizona, and I was watching some of this, and I just don't think that there's any talent on this roster to the point that you can be competent in an over, right? Trenton Bourgeot is currently a starting quarterback, but Drew Pine could certainly overtake him at some point. And they also have Jaden Rashada, who I believe is a true freshman. Their schedule seems good. They've got 8 home games, but they got to play the heavyweights in the Pac-12. And believe you me, there are some heavyweights in here. And they got 2 non-conference states that are really tough with OSU and FSU. Plus, they got to play USC in the middle of the season. You got to – it's just – it's ugly for these guys. I've got to go under.
So Drew Pine isn't riding the pine this year?
I don't know. We'll see. No. Right now, Trenton Bourgeot is listed as a starter.
It was just a joke. But, no, I'm taking the under. Arizona Sun Devils are awful. There's nobody good on this roster. I'm going to go with the numbers. The numbers are saying the under. Wall.
Your joke was actually a truth, Woj, because he did ride the pine last year, and that's why he transferred from Notre Dame. So I like Notre Dame quarterbacks. I do believe Mr. Hardway said that he wasn't listed as a starter. Day one, I do believe he'll be the starter. He's just got more experience. I do think he's a more talented quarterback, but it's the Arizona State Sun Devils. I mean, I got to go under on that 5 number. It's tough to see them getting a lot of good wins. I think for the Pac-12, it's going to be really interesting. We have a bunch of teams that are not, you know, the best teams in the nation. USC will take them out of the pack and just say not the best teams in the nation. And you look at how difficult their schedules still are, according to some of the experts. You have Arizona State sitting at number 32 for strength of schedule, under 5.
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle for Arizona Sun Devils. It's also going to be a struggle for Arizona Wildcats. I'll start this one off by saying this is a big under, more than the Sun Devils are. At least they got Drew Pine over there at the State University. I don't believe Arizona's got anything. Story?
I actually kind of like the over on this. This is another program. We kind of talked about it in the last podcast. If you remember, I don't really care for Jimbo Fisher, and Aces brought it up. So Kyle brought it up in Kevin Sumlin. The Kevin Sumlin stink, I think, is still around Texas A&M. I think Kevin Sumlin has been gone long enough from Arizona that you can actually see some improvement. And we did see some improvement under Jed Fish last year. They went 5-7 last year. So I think 6, it's currently sitting at, what are we sitting at, 5? I think 6 is within reach with that push there. And the over at even money at plus 100, I like the over. It's not a terribly difficult schedule. I mean, they do have to play Oregon State, UCLA in there, but they've got some breaks in the non-conference side of things. And if they can win, you know, one of the 3 there, they got a chance to make some noise. I like the over in this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I disagree with Woj's adamancy against also the quarterback argument there too. They have Jane DeLora. Yep. Who came down from, or is he at Washington State, but he was there last year. So it's the second year there with the program. I think he's a difference maker. He wins games for them. I mean, I'm not saying he's gonna can't carry a team on his back to beat teams significantly better, but in close games he can be clutch. And again, looking at wins, I mean, they've got Northern Arizona, UTEP, Stanford, Colorado, Arizona State. I mean, there's likely five wins. Again, I go over because I see them getting to five. And again, I think that's the worst case of push. So, I go over.
I love how these guys jump on there and they come after the madman Woj. They don't let him get away with his BS. I agree that Mr. DeLora was a great quarterback. You're talking about in the Pac-12, 3,685 yards passing last year. That's incredible. Number two in the Pac-12. Not to mention rushing. I believe he's top five in rushing too, which is just insane for a quarterback. So to hear the DFS man say that they have no quarterback, way to push at him, Mr. What do they call you, the real Jay-Z? That's what they call you. Hardways. Also, I do believe you were correct when you said that they did better than expectations, or at least you implied it. They did better than expectations last year. I think they kind of continue that success. They only got to get over that five hump. I think they do it. I'm going with the over five. I agree with our guests. Down with the madman, Woj.
There he is.
Oh, I guess that's it. All right, moving on. Bunch of Pac-12 lovers in here. We got Cal Golden Bears. Let's do real Jay-Z on this one. This is another five.
Yeah, I'll join you on dumping on a team here, Woj. They're just not good year in, year out. They're mediocre. Looking at their schedule, I see at least six losses. Their win total's at five. I see six pretty much guarantees. And they don't win close games. I just don't think they're all that good of a team. So I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Jay-Z. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, they got a tough road schedule this year. They've underperformed in every year that Justin Wilcox, the head coach, has been there. Now, they do have TCU transfer Sam Jackson, so they've got Samuel L. Jackson under center, but I don't think it's enough to overcome the deficiencies on both sides of the ball. Wilcox is a better defensive mind than he is offensive. You're going to need offense in the Pac-12 to get wins. I'm surprised Jay Knott is still on this roster. The guys feel like he's only third year, but he feels like he's been there forever. He just doesn't move the needle that much for me. There's not enough talent. I'm going under five wins.
They got 10 starters back coming from last year. They got six wins last year. I mean, I'm going to take the over. I like the over here. I like him getting that juju going with Samuel Jackson, like you just talked about. I think the defense plays better than it did last year, and they gave up 27.8 points. The offense of line was a struggle, giving up 31 sacks, but I think they get better this year. And I think they do get the over. Wall?
It's a tough one. This one's a real tough one for me. I don't know which way I'm going to go on it. Let's just throw a coin out there. I'm going to say over on this one. I think the California Golden Bears go over that five number. I'm looking at the schedule. North Texas, Auburn, Idaho, they go 2-3 to start the season. I mean, just a few more. I don't have much justification other than that. I do have a different number for returning starters. I have it at 8. I believe you mentioned 10, Woj, which Mr. Phil Steele's saying the 8. So I'm going to believe that man. I'm going to go by what that man says. It's going to be an interesting team to watch. There's a lot of things we didn't talk about at the beginning of the episode. Maybe we should have that could be going on off-field antics with all these Pac-12 teams that will obviously no longer be in the Pac-12, or most won't for that matter, in the coming years. So with all that off-field antics, somebody's got to lose, somebody's got to win. I'm guessing that Cal just gets that random coin flip win.
All right, moving on. Colorado Buffaloes, 3.5. I'm taking the over on this. I'm taking Deion. I'm taking his kid at quarterback. They have the big transfer of the season, as everybody's calling it, Travis Hunter, who's an all-purpose player, plays both sides of the ball, does everything. I think 4-8 is a very possible thing looking at the schedule. I am taking the over, even though the numbers are telling me not to, but this is going to be such a hard team with so many transfers, a lot of hype with Deion Sanders there. It's going to be an interesting team to watch, but I'm going to take the over. I'm going to go 4-8 for Colorado. Story.
Yeah, this one is probably the most intriguing of the entire games or entire teams that we're talking about, because what does Deion Sanders bring? Right, he did phenomenally at Jackson State, going 27-6 there, 23-3 over the last two seasons. He overhauled this entire program. He brought in 70 some new players, right, and most of 40 some starters, or potential starters there. I think this win total would have been 2.5 easily, maybe 2 without Deion Sanders there. But the odds makers aren't quite sure what to make of this. If it all clicks, then yeah, I think this can go. I think you got 4 wins, 5 wins, and this is a team that could look to improve year over year. As it stands, I got you know, Deion Sanders is a character, and I'm going to go over. I like him.
Well,
3.5 is a tough number to go under. I think I will go under, though. I'm not going to bet this one for sure. Again, we're talking all these games. We're hammering down, hey, you got to pick over under. We're not all necessarily, and I can tell you for sure, we're not all betting on the actual picks we're making. We're making them for the people because the people love it. This is not a bet I'm going to make, but I'm going to say under this one. What I will probably be doing throughout the season as far as a betting standpoint, I'll be throwing a lot of money against Colorado because you'll probably be getting a lot of public money coming in on them with all the hype, with all the off-field, you know, banter that's going on with Deion Sanders coming there, all these changes, all these players going there. It creates a lot of hype. And when you get that, you get a lot of public money that just wants to bet on someone they like or they're cheering for. Well, that's not how you win money when you're a sports bettor. So throughout the season, I'll probably be fading Colorado every game, even though some of the spreads will be, you know, pretty high for them in the plus side.
Real Jay-Z?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of have a tough schedule, too. I mean, I kind of want to go with the hype and say, yeah, they're going to get wins. But it could go either way. It's, again, they could get blown out, and this could be a disaster. And, again, with all these new people, and it just doesn't quite click this year. I mean, obviously, you mentioned what Deion did at Jackson State, so it'll be interesting to see how this team progresses and what they can do this year to grow towards the next years. But it's tough to find 4 wins. But again, if they're clicking and it goes right, I mean, they could get 5. It could be exciting. I go over just like, I mean, Wall said. I mean, 3.5 is tough to go under.
It is tough to go under. And I like Deion. I think it's going to take a couple years, but I think he gets it going over there. All right. On to the Oregon Ducks. Quack, quack, quack. 9.5 is the over under. One of the, I think they're probably one of the front runners to win the conference, I would imagine, as well as a couple other teams such as USC, possibly Washington. Real Jay-Z, since you're a big Ducks fan, I'm going to hold this off to you first.
Oh, thanks for letting me lead off on this one. Obviously over. I mean, you got Bo Nix coming back. Bucky Irving, second year out of after he came in from Minnesota. The wide receivers, I mean, again, I guess I'm beating the offense to death, which they obviously have offense, but they're going to be coming together. They've got, is it Dan Lanning? Head coach in there for the second year. So they've got all these kind of new players and new coaches that came in last year. And so they've got some more time together. It's going to click better. They're going to win games. They're going to do it well. I mean, Bo Nix, I know you're a huge fan, Woj. Also, when you do look at the schedule and break it down, I mean, Washington with Penix, they could be a tough game. They're a tough game every year. Utah, obviously, is always a good game. And then they've got USC this year. And we can't leave out Oregon State as well. So, again, that's 4 games. They'd have to lose basically all of them to not cover. I see them maybe losing 2, but not 3. Over all day.
Dory?
Ooh, this one's tough. I think this over-under really comes down to last game of the season, right? The Oregon State game.
Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, that is a matchup that could really determine the fate of the Pac-12 and whether or not they stay in the national title competition. If Bo Nix takes a jump and everything clicks for this team, yeah, they could go undefeated, realistically. But they could also lose 4 games. The schedule is difficult enough. Texas Tech is no slouch. right? They've got to play Stanford. I believe in Stanford this year. Then they've got a schedule that includes Washington, Utah, and USC in a span of five games. And then at Oregon State, who's ranked 18 right now, and they've got former Clemson quarterback there. So for me, I'm going under. I don't think they finish with two losses. I think three is real easy in the books, and four is even possible.
Well, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm going over on this. I agree with the real Jay-Z, and I'm surprised to hear you guys kind of say that Oregon State is the pivot game. I don't see that. I mean, Oregon's going to be at least a touchdown favorite in that game. At least. I know it's a rivalry game. I know it's, you know, anyone can win those, but I just, Oregon's a much better football team. I think they win that one easily, in my opinion. I would be much more confident in my bet, though, if Mario Cristobal was still there. The real Jay-Z mentioned Dan Lanning. I don't know what he can really do. He's his first time head coaching at a university, so for FBS anyways. I don't know what he can do there. I just think the Oregon Ducks are a very good football team. Woj mentioned before he thought they might have been the favorite. USC is the favorite, but the Ducks are in second place there to win the Pac-12, and they're not that far behind USC sitting on the odds right now to win the division.
So Bo Nix is back. And I will admit, Bo Nix played extremely well last year. They had a great offense, 38.8 points per game. And I think they have most of that supporting cast other than the line coming back. They have a new offensive line that'll be back in. Seven starters on defense. Noah Swell, the linebacker, won't be there. But they do pick up an Iowa transfer in Justin Jacobs, who didn't play last year for Iowa, but did 2 years ago. and got 53 tackles. He was a good player.
I just love it, Woj. Our Hawkeyes sending our talent over there for Oregon, help them get
Yeah, we're just trying to help Pac-12 out a little bit here, the conference of parent champions. But yeah, I think I do like Oregon this year. I like their chances. I do like USC, just like a little hint earlier, but I do like Oregon's chances. I think that USC game is going to be a pivot point. I think that one's going to be a fun game to watch. I hope, maybe one lost team's going into that game. It'll be an exciting game. All right, let's move on. We have the Oregon State Beavers with a new quarterback, I believe, here in DJ Uiagalelei.
Your favorite guy to pronounce, Woj.
Yeah, coming over from Clemson. Story, what are your thoughts here? Eight and a half.
And if I had come on this podcast last year and said that Oregon State is going to win 10 games, you guys would have laughed me out of the building, right? But that's exactly what Jonathan Smith, as head coach at Oregon State, did. And it's only happened three times in the program's 127-year history. So what does that tell you? Solid coach. A solid five-star recruit. I think he can get unlocked. He did struggle at Clemson, no doubt. Never really lived up to the recruiting hype. But there's manageable road games here. They do have to play against the teeth of the Pac-12. But I think that Coach Smith has a chance to kind of bring this team around. They still got Damian Martinez, who's a running back. They have a couple of four-star recruits in waiting in the wings. Zachary Card, I believe, a freshman wide receiver. It's a chance that this team competes for the title, for the Pac-12 title. So I like the over for Oregon State this year.
Pac-12 title. Wow. Real Jay-Z, thoughts?
Sorry, I just got a backpedal there. Did I hear that correctly, Story? Did you just compliment a coach?
That was weird. That was weird, man.
Okay. So
Jonathan Smith is going up on the board of coaches. Story's complimented, and he's the only name.
That's what? Got to start a list somewhere. I don't disagree with the story. It comes down to kind of how DJ Uiagalelei comes in and plays and fits in. I mean, they also don't have the toughest schedule. They've got Utah, Washington, Oregon. So there's three tough games right there. But the rest, I mean, they could and realistically should win the rest. So I think it more comes down to how the quarterback fits in and whether, you know, they lose a one-off game. I 8.5's tough. I'm going to say under just because I prefer my Ducks to Beavers.
I am going to go with the under here as well. Ukulele over there is not a very sound quarterback. Maybe the change in environment will help him. But he has not played well at Clemson, one of the better teams in the nation. And to tell me that Oregon State has better players around him for him to thrive better is that's not true. So I don't like their chances of returning to that 10-3 record that Story's top shelf coach over there, Jonathan Smith, did. But I just don't see it. I'm going to take the under on 8.5 here. I think 8 wins is maybe realistic, but I don't think anything more than that. Well,
I think they can possibly get up to 10 wins on the season. Look at the schedule. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that they can do it. I respect Mr. Hardway's opinion over there. I am going to agree with the majority of the group, I believe, and go under that 8.5 wins. I think the third game of the season is one I'm going to be watching. They play San Diego State. They are at home for that game, but that's one where I might be fading the Beavers, thinking that it's a lookover game when they play Washington State at Washington State the week after. So I'll be looking at that game to bet straight up, maybe San Diego State straight, and that will help with that under that I'm going to pick on these Beavers at 8.5.
All right, moving on to my favorite team from last year, the Stanford Cardinals. And the reason they're my favorite is because I played whatever running back played into them, because they gave up a shit ton of yards per game last year to running backs. They also gave up 36.3 points per game. They only returned 6 starters, which might be a good thing. Their over-under is 3. It's such a low number, but they are such a terrible team. They now take the spot from Colorado. They're the bottom feeders in the SEC, or in the Pac-12, excuse me, the Conference of Champions. They're the bottom dwellers. It's hard to say this, but give me the under on Stanford.
Three wins?
Okay, let me preface this by saying that David Shaw stinks, okay?
He's not there anymore.
Let him live his life.
He's gone.
Let me finish. Fortunately, he's not there anymore. Okay. So we have a new coach in Troy Taylor who came in, and yes, David Shaw did stink. He stunk at Stanford. He couldn't recruit worth a damn. He couldn't figure out how to develop prospects. So you got Troy Taylor, who had really good success at Sacramento State. I think he went 30-8 or something like that in his time there. So really good there. I think he's going to squeeze some talent out of the roster here. The results from last year are obviously abysmal, but I like EJ Smith, and I've heard through training camp that he's been lining up at wide receiver quite a bit. He is it'll come to me. They've got Ben Urosek at tight end. Ari Patu looks like a solid prospect here. I think there's certainly a rebuilding program, and I think we have talked about it in the SBI Discord about the chances to win the Pac-12. Stanford at 10,000 plus 10,000. I'll throw a little bit on it just for fun because I like this team. I like Stanford. Assuming that Troy Taylor can kind of navigate the tough academic requirements for the recruits, I think they've got four. I think they're a program that will continue to improve, and I think they've got 4 wins in them this year, especially when it's at 3 and not 3.5. The chance for the push, I'll take the over on the Cardinal.
Real Jay-Z. Thoughts on the Cardinals?
I mean, I was distracted by all the confidence and everything Star was putting out there to most likely get 4 wins. That was good. I see 3 wins on it. I'm just going to keep it simple. I think they get 3 wins, no more, no less. Don't waste your time on the push. Just move on.
I don't see the 3 wins on the board. Sacramento State might be a tough game. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't see 3 wins on this board. That looks like brutal roster form, but or schedule. But, Wall, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, how are you letting the real Jay-Z get away with that? He didn't make a pick. You got to make – you come on this program, you got to put your nuts on the table. You got to make a pick. How are we going to tabulate at the end of the year?
Well, what if I'm right on a push? That's not good. If they get
that's
3
a big
wins,
payout if you take exactly 3 wins.
Yeah, see, then I get the correct answer, and you all are wrong. So,
all right. Well, we're going to put him at under because he's a man that likes to go by the numbers. SBI SportsBettingIntel.com is showing us a 59.59% probability of them going under according to that line. So we're going to chalk him up as an under, even though he didn't say it. Is that good with you, Woj?
That's good. What's the odds of them winning a game?
the odds on them winning a game is pretty good. I would say you're definitely shorter than -250, -300, because their over-under is at 3. They're going to beat Sacramento State, so there's one right there. I'm pretty sure they'll be heavier than -300 favorites in there, so actually you're much shorter than that. My numbers are probably off. I will go under on this. No, I switched that up. I'm going to go against the real Jay-Z because I just gave him the under. I'm going to go over just to go against him the end of the year and tell him, hey, you got it wrong, even though he didn't really pick anything. I agree that this team has had bad coaching in the past. I like Mr. Shaw. He didn't perform well. Hardway's mentioned Troy Taylor and how well he's performed. Yeah, he performed well in, you know, the FCS, but now he's coaching an FBS team, or a questionable FBS team, a team that hasn't made a bowl since 2018. But nonetheless, a team that's playing FBS teams week in and week out. It's going to be tough for him, but I'm going over just to spite the real Jay-Z.
All right.
Yeah. Make sure to write that down. Put it on your board next Story's favorite coaches board.
There's room.
Yeah, lots of room. All right. Moving on. We got the UCLA Bruins and Mr. Chip Kelly. I'm not sure what Story feels about him, but we'll get to that in a minute. Over under is 8.5. I am taking the under on this one. They have major gaps to fill in me and Wall's favorite players, Mr. Charbonnet over there. They have Ball State transfer Carson Steele to fill that gap. They have DTR gone at quarterback. They have true freshman Dante Moore. So they have a true freshman playing quarterback. Yeah, I don't see it, especially with the offense, the way it is like that, that UCLA jumps to 9 wins. Give me the under on that one. Story, we'll just go to you next. Are you a Chip Kelly fan? Which board is he going on?
Oh, I love Chip Kelly because he's an idiot and he can't put a defense together to save his life. So that means offense, baby. I mean, you watch these UCLA games, Pac-12 After Dark is amazing. Offense, this is going to be an offensive juggernaut. And the thing is, Wall brings it up all the time. If you don't have defense, you can't win games. I got to go under there strictly for that reason. I do think Dante Moore will see the field at some point this year. He's way too talented. Reminder, they did sneak him away from Oregon. He had originally said he was going to Oregon. And then he committed to UCLA. So he'll probably, I mean, I bet Ethan Garber starts the season, but week 4, you know, you're going to see Dante Moore in there. He's just way too talented. That doesn't mean that they have enough to compete in UCLA or in the Pac-12, especially since there is no defense out of this team whatsoever. So Chip Kelly, he was an idiot at Oregon. He was an idiot in the NFL, and he's a moron here at UCLA. But I love it for the over in most of his games, but I'm taking the under on the season win totals.
All right, Wall, what are your thoughts on the Bruins?
I want to put a disclaimer out there that our guests' opinions are their opinions and their opinions alone, because Mr. Hardway is going hard on some of these coaches. Chip Kelly, I don't know that he's my favorite coach. I do agree that they don't have a defense. They need one if they want to get, you know, 8.5 wins. Tough to see them getting 8.5 wins without that defense here. I understand they had a good season last year, but we're talking about teams that they play at home that maybe they get a little bit of an advantage against. Washington State's really the only one I can see that maybe that home field advantage helps them. But this is a team, if you watch their games last year, I mean, they have maybe 10-20% of the stands filled. So anytime I hear about someone talk about home field advantage with UCLA, I always kind of like raise an eyebrow, because what does it really matter for a team like that when nobody's really watching them anyways? It came to a point last year towards the end of the season, they had to cover up a bunch of seats with huge tarps so it didn't look so bad on network television. This team is probably happy as hell to get out of the Pac-12, move over there with some real competition in the Big Ten. This year, though, I'm going under 8.5 wins for UCLA.
I'd also like to add that Mr. Kelly, if you'd like to join us on our next podcast, you're more than welcome to
defend yourself.
Yes. Go ahead, Real Jay-Z. What are your thoughts on UCLA?
Well, I'm a Chip Kelly guy, obviously, back to those duck days. But 8.5 is a lot of wins. I mean, I do think even if it is a true freshman coming in, that Chip Kelly will find a way to make him work, but he's going to make mistakes. Again, they've got Utah, Oregon State, and USC. So again, we can maybe write 3 losses there pretty quickly, which means the rest need to go perfect, and that's just not going to happen. I did have to take a double take on Ethan Garbers. It was Chase Garbers that was at Cal. I was thinking it was a Cal transfer, but I also kind of want to knock that just out of Cal's inefficiency, and I remember how poor he was there at his brother. So taking shots too early here, but going under, it's just, I think 8.5 is too much.
All right. You heard it here first. UCLA before they go to the Big Ten, last season in the Pac-12. Moving on to another team whose last season is also this year. UCLA, or no, excuse me, that's UCLA. USC Trojans, I'm sorry, 9.5. Real Jay-Z, take that one over as well. I want to hear your thoughts on the odd favorite to win it all.
Oh, are they 9.5? I was thinking 10. Oh, 9.5. Oh, we're great. Even better, can take the over now. Got that extra half. No, I mean, Caleb Williams coming back, second year there, so he's getting more comfortable. They've got Austin Jones, the Stanford transfer. So, again, they've got experience at running back and quarterback. I mean, they're going to have offense. Who's the other one? Mario Williams at wide receiver. They've got offense for days. They're going to be able to score. And their schedule didn't seem too tough just looking back over San Jose State, Nevada, Stanford, Arizona State, Colorado, Arizona. I mean, that's their first, what, six games that they – probably don't really have to think too much about really any of those. And then they can get ready for Notre Dame, Utah, which would be a tough test back to back, and then finish in the season, Washington, Oregon. So, I mean, they've got a tough end on the stretch or tough finish to their season. But again, they're going to have time to get rolling, and I don't know that they really need it. I say over.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I like Lincoln Riley. I like what they're doing there. They got another season for Caleb Williams, and most of the skill position players that they had last season will be back for him to go. I think they were overloaded almost to a point last year where I don't think they knew what to do. They were trying to spread the ball out too much, but I do like what they're doing there. Lincoln Riley's a recruiting fiend. He's got a bunch of transfers coming over from high profile schools like Barry Alexander on the defensive line from Georgia, Anthony Lucas from Texas A&M, Mason Cobb from Oklahoma State. They're looking pretty good. Definitely the odd-on favorite to win this conference. I like USC, and I like their over chances. Wall?
Over. I'm putting a bet on it. No question in my mind they hit this over. I don't like the Pac-12 generally. It's not my favorite conference anyways. I shouldn't say I don't like it. It's not my favorite conference. Absolutely not my favorite conference to bet on. I just, for some reason, don't win money in it. And USC is not a team that I've really liked since Bush was there or Leinart was there back in the day. I've really been down on them lately. But this year, it's a whole different story. Caleb Williams, mentioned already. Lincoln Riley, mentioned already. Over for this one. Betting it. I'm going the over alternate totals on DraftKings, over 11, plus 425. 425 in my pocket on a $100 bet. I'm putting that one in too, so I'm all in on USC this year.
All right, story.
Yeah, this is another team. This is another coach that can't seem to figure out the defense, right? And is just going to throw the ball all over the place to compensate for that. I mean, this is a team that gave up 47 points to Utah last year. 47 points for a team that doesn't know what the forward pass is, and they still scored almost 50 points on them. So the defense is certainly their bugaboo. It continues to be, but you've got the Heisman Trophy odds on favorite. You've got Lincoln Riley, who's an incredible winning coach, although he's 0-3 in the college football playoffs. The schedules doesn't do them any favors at the end of the year, as the real Jay-Z pointed out, but I have to look at this. It's at 9.5. What's more likely, 9-3 or 10-2 with this schedule, this team, this coach, this quarterback? 10-2 is more likely, so I'm going over.
You heard it there first. Bugaboo. Okay. Moving on to Utah Utes. 8.5. I'm taking the under. Cameron Rising coming off that ACL he suffered in Rose Bowl last year. Probably not going to be back at the start of the season. That was a lot of their, I mean, other than their defense, which is always good, but they need some sort of offense there. So I'm gonna take the under on Utah. I'm going to fade Utah this year. Wall, what are your thoughts? I'll throw it to you first.
I mean, Utah is the one that was questioning me because I want to take USC to remain perfect on the season, which would have given me even greater odds. And I want to mention, too, I just went on DraftKings as we were speaking. I told the people I was going to bet it. I did try to bet it for the record on DraftKings, but they're only letting me get down a handful of cents on this one. Kind of limited over there, so they don't like me betting. But Utah, that was the question mark with USC going undefeated, them and Notre Dame. The real Jay-Z made a great point about that back-to-back tough schedule that they have. Well, they get the Utes at home. The Utes are going on the road for USC this year. I think that kind of hurts them. I don't think they're going to be as great, but I'm not going to bet against Kyle Whittingham. He's just done nothing but win since he's been there. He's been there almost 20 years now, going on 19. It's just a really good football coach that coaches a really good football program. I like them over that 8.5.
Dory?
Do you want 9 wins out of your team? Go to Utah. It's that simple. This Kyle Whittingham is a he's a winning coach, and he's looking to become the first Pac-12 coach to win the Pac-12 conference in 3 straight years. This team is built as a strong team across the board, whether it comes to passing, running. I know I made fun of them not knowing what the forward pass is previously, but Cam Rising, assuming he can come back to some form of health this year, defense is strong. The running game is incredible. I don't know that they win the Pac-12 conference again, but 9 wins is not difficult for this team in the Pac-12. 10 wins is very doable for them. So it is a little bit of a tricky schedule, but I like the Utes to go over this year.
All right. Washington Huskies, 9.5.
Well, I think you might have skipped over the real Jay-Z's.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. I just
no one needs to hear that.
I just assumed he was going to go under, but go real Jay-Z. What are your thoughts here on Utah Utes?
Under? Oh no, love the Utes. I was just waiting to hear the feedback from story there on their lack of being able to throw a forward pass. I was excited for that one after the USC talk. No, I mean 8.5's tough. I mean, they've got USC, Oregon, Washington, Oregon State, the teams we kind of keep hitting on as tough teams, but they also have Florida in there, UCLA, we don't know what to expect, but it's tough. I think as long as Rising comes out, yeah, 9's not a problem. So, yeah, let's just go over, stick with the group.
All right, Washington Huskies, 9.5. I'm going to take the under because I think it's going to be 9, but I think they're a really good team. Especially with Penix, we saw Michael Penix Jr., the Indiana transfer that came to Washington and then lit it up for him last year. They have a lot of their playmakers still on offense. The only thing that they're lacking is their line. They have 3 new starters in the line. They picked up some defensive cornerbacks and some guys in the line as well, some edge rushers. So I think they're just a good team. I think they'll get to that 9 wins. Maybe they surprise people and get to the 10. So, I think they'll be in the hunt at the end of the season. Real Jay-Z, what are your thoughts on the Huskies?
I go under. I mean, same teams have been hitting on Oregon, USC, Utah, Oregon State. They've also got the sneaky Michigan State early. I'm not sure what to expect out of them this year. Boise State week 1, they've just got some – it's not a gimme schedule. And again, just the 4 top teams in the Pac-12, they've got to play them all and win them. Or I guess win one of them at least and then go perfect the rest of the way. I think just the tough schedule is going to stop them and put them under 9.5.
Story?
I like you over here. I think Washington, believe it or not, I think that they're the top of the top in the Pac-12 outside of USC. I think 11-1 is in their possible future. I think they can compete for the Pac-12 title. I think that this team, you look at Michael Penix, he resurrected his career transferring here over to Washington. This is a team that was a single-digit win team 2 years ago, 4-8, and now Kalen DeBoer, who's an incredibly strong coach, took them to 11-2 and a top-10 finish last year. The schedule makers did not do them very many favors. As you mentioned, Jay-Z, that Michigan State game is a little bit sneaky early in the season, but if they get out of East Lansing, and with a win there, I think they can cruise through until maybe the Utah game or the USC game. That gives them a little bit of a stumbling block. But, yeah, I see 9. What are we sitting at with these guys? 9.5. Yeah, 10 wins is and 11 wins is definitely possible. I'm going over on Washington.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Huskies for this year? You think you can get the over on that? Do you believe with Story is spitting?
He's spitting out there. I agree that they can. It's not going to be my pick. My pick is going to be the under. It's not a team that I know a whole lot about. It's one of those teams similar to last year when it was like a Tennessee team. Like, what the hell are all these guys hyping this team up for? Like, they're the next coming of Christ or something. And, you know, I get it. They had a great season last year. Kalen DeBoer in his first year did a phenomenal job over there. But, hey, maybe that's a little freshman luck for the head ball coach. I don't know that they come through this year. I think that Utah over kind of puts me at a Washington under. And then Mr. Hardway's mentioned that Michigan State game. That's something that I'm going to be on that game specifically. I'll be looking to bet Michigan State straight up to win the game on the money line. You're going to be getting big plus money because Washington will be around a 2-touchdown favorite come game time. I just think under on the season, though, the Huskies don't hit that 9.5.
All right, moving on. Last team to talk about, Washington State. Now, this is an interesting one. Cameron Ward did a really good job last year, but he loses all four of his top receivers. He loses some help from his already struggling offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Their defense actually played pretty well for a Washington State team. They only allowed 22.9 points per game, which was third, believe it or not, in the Pac-12. Great conference champions over there. It's 6.5 right now. I'm going to take the under on Washington State. There's a lot to rebuild there and the offensive side of the ball. I do like Cameron Ward, though. I know there was a lot of hype around him coming in from Incarnate Ward, but he did play pretty well, but I don't think they have what it takes power-wise to compete with some of these other teams like Washington, Utah, UCLA, USC, and Oregon. Stu, or Real Jay-Z, what are your thoughts?
I like Cameron Ward. He's good back there, as you highlighted. He's losing basically everything. They've got Wisconsin for out of conference game, so that's gonna be tough. Just their schedule again, what we've talked about, they're teams that likely aren't going to be able to beat, in my opinion, and kind of what we've talked about the whole time. 6.5 is kind of a lot. If they get to 6, I think that would be a good season. I don't see a way they get to 7, though. Wisconsin, Oregon State, UCLA, maybe Arizona, Oregon, Washington. Under, I just don't see them getting past 6 wins.
Dory?
Yeah, I will say it's a pretty favorable schedule. One of the more favorable schedules in the conference, realistically. They don't have to play USC, Utah. They get to host Washington this year. They're welcoming Wisconsin, which is there some rivalry between Wisconsin and Washington State that I'm not aware of? Didn't they play Wisconsin last year? So
they beat
weird.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. And
I think back to back, a home and home just for the 2 years.
And revenge game for former Wisconsin Badger Nakia Watson, starting running back for the Washington State Cougars. Now, the problem is 6.5 is just too much. I don't know where the odds makers are getting this number from. I'm looking at their schedule. Wisconsin, maybe, traveling across country, who knows? But Oregon State, UCLA, Oregon, Arizona, Colorado, the wild card there, Washington. I don't see 5 wins on this schedule, let alone 6-7 wins. Maybe they get to 6 wins this year, but as much as it pains me, because I do like Washington State, I'm going under 6.5.
That Cameron Ward, you remember talking about him last year, Woj, when the season was about to start? We talked about him a lot, you and I.
Yes, yeah.
In this program. And I agree with you, he paid off. What a fantastic quarterback. What a fantastic transfer they had into the FBS, onto Washington State. It was Mr. Cameron Ward. Looking over his stats here, these stats are just incredible, Woj. If you look, you're talking about 3,231 passing yards. You're talking about they're passing the ball almost 500 times, 497 attempts. They put a lot of confidence in him last year when he had a right to be nervous, and that move up. This year, he's going to be a lot more comfortable back there in the pocket. I think he's going to have that experience under his belt when they're going against these bigger teams, even though I know it was mentioned they don't play the hard teams, but still they have to go to California. They have to go to Oregon. They have to go to UCLA. These are games where now with that confidence he's grown, I think it helps him out. Numbers be damned on that. On this, I'm going to go Cougars over.
I don't not like it. They're just one of those. I'm taking the under still, but I don't, it's a good.
You heard it here first, folks. Wall does it not like it unless he thinks that we don't want him to like it. And also Wall likes Cougars.
I like Cougars. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that was a good episode. Story didn't completely destroy any coach. Quite
like, hold some of my feelings for later podcasts in the season.
He tried to get Chip Kelly in the Jimbo Fisher boat, but didn't quite get there, which was, you know, thank you story. It keeps it a little bit more family friendly, and we can hope that Chip Kelly will join us maybe someday. Because Jimbo Fisher definitely will not be on our program, apparently, after. Yeah, we've heard back from his assistants. gentlemen, thank you for joining us for the Pac-12 Conference of Projected Champions, the real Jay-Z and Michael Story.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks again for the invite. Love doing this exercise. It helps me kind of focus in. And don't forget to go to sportsbettingintel.com. Check out everything that we have going on right there right now. It's mostly Major League Baseball and soccer, but with football starting in just 11 days, exciting, exciting, and NFL football starting not that much farther behind that. We've got a lot of great opportunities and a lot of great stuff that we are gearing up for NCAA football, for college football this year. So again, that's sportsbettingintel.com. Also check us out, SB Intel, everywhere on social media.
I love it. Make sure you use that code Rundown too. It helps our program. I love how you brought up how close we're getting to the football season. It's making me so happy. I'm looking at group chats we have here, just blowing up. I mean, you got to love this time of season, just blowing up. I think I'm ripping on somebody for how bad the Buckeyes are going to be because they're a Buckeyes fan. They're coming back at me. How much do you love this college football season, Woj?
It's getting there. It's getting there. I'm going to be excited to go over Big Ten and see what they're going to be up to this year, and as well as Big 12. We have those.
Big Ten, I can give you everything you need to know. They're going to run the ball.
Thanks, Story. Did that work well for your Wisconsin Badgers when you had Braylon Allen on your team?
We'll see. We will see what happens this year, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening. For the Rundown Nation, I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And we're out.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram's college_football_rundown. Our website, which you can get all our podcasts and information and contact me and Kyle on, is collegefootballrundown.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody. I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. We're out.